So just to move right into it, on the phone we have William Bloom, author of various books, The Rogue State and Killing Hope, and a lot of it involves and talks about the intervention of the United States inside the impacts of sovereign nation and what role it has had, excuse me, throughout its history. And, you know, we invited him to talk to us about the National Endowment for Democracy and the role of the U.S. In particular inside the United States. Hello, William. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm fine, thank you.
Good. You know, for our listeners, can you talk to us, what is the National Endowment for Democracy, for folks who don't know?
Well, it's an organization which was set up in the early 1980s, ostensibly to promote democracy all over the world. In fact, though, it was set up to replace the CIA in a number of areas. This was a period when the CIA was under great attack because of exposures of things they had done in the past. This was following Watergate and following the Church Committee investigation and other investigations in Congress of the 1970s. And so the powers that be were embarrassed by all these revelations about the CIA, which were coming out, and something had to be done. And so what they did was, of course, not to change any of these policies. They simply created a new organization with a nice-sounding name, the National Endowment for Democracy, which would do more or less overtly many of the things which the CIA had been doing covertly, and thus hopefully remove the stigma associated with CIA covert activities. And it's been, in that respect, it's been a great success. It just acts like it's independent of the U.S. government. It calls itself an NGO, a non-governmental organization, and it goes around the world interfering in the elections and in any way it can to destabilize a government which the U.S. government is not friendly with, or to destabilize a movement which is opposed to a government which is supported by Washington.
William, you know, how is the National Endowment for Democracy funded? I mean, where does it get
Funded
its
entirely by Congress.
Right.
That's why it's safe to say it's a government organization.
And literally it is. I mean, could you make the argument that it literally is playing a role for the U.S. government? It's not just sort of an independent NGO.
Well, if you look at their annual reports, in the back of each one there's a financial statement. It shows where the money comes from. And apart from any interest on their investments, all their funding comes from the U.S. Congress. How many other organizations can you name which are not government organizations, which are funded entirely by Congress? How much more proof do you need? And the policies carried out at NED, without exception, coincide with U.S. policies, U.S. foreign policy. The U.S. is against the government of Venezuela, and so is NED. The U.S. is against the government of Cuba, and so is NED. On down the list, Nicaragua, El Salvador, you name it.
Well, the other thing that I was reading in some of the writings you've written about the NED, it's also how it's you know, how its funding is then distributed to different either political parties and the AFL-CIO. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, the NED has four main arms or wings. One is an institute associated with the Democrats, one associated with the Republicans, a third one associated with Labor, the AFL-CIO mainly, and a fourth one associated with the Chamber of Commerce. So you have Labor and management, Republicans and the Democrats. Those are the four wings of NED, and much of the funding goes from NED to one of these four to each of these four organizations, and they in turn disperse money to other organizations, either in the target country or in the U.S. Before it reaches the target country.
What role has, I think that's really fascinating in the sense that the AFL-CIO then, you know, sort of becomes, again, the relatively a mouthpiece or an appendage of, you know, the exterior.
The AFL-CIO has a long history of being very closely involved with American foreign policy, and to the extent that the AFL-CIO has worked against a number of foreign labor unions, which were on the wrong side ideologically from the point of view of Washington.
Mm-hmm.
So it works. The AFL-CIO has worked even against its own expressed purpose in life to support labor movements.
Well, you know, can you also talk to us about, a little bit about the role that NEED has played in particular in Latin America? One particular instance that I know is the Nicaragüense elections in 1990. But can you give us a little rundown?
NEED is active in virtually every country of the third world. Nicaragua 1990, they heavily supported the opposition to the Sandinistas. Money was no object. They just poured in probably over $1 million. And this is in a very poor country. I mean, $1 million goes a long way. And they just, besides the funding, they give their recipients cars and entire offices, computers, faxes, you name it, whatever is needed. And then they bring in experts from the States and elsewhere. They bring in election experts who teach the chosen side how to carry out polls and to campaign and so on. And they bring any kind of expert which is needed for the occasion. And again, money is no object. So the poor third world country government or party which is the target of all this, they can't match NED with money or with expertise or equipment or facilities, you name it. It's a very one-sided affair. And that this played a major role in the defeat of the Sandinistas in 1990. In addition to the making sure that the people knew that if they reelected the Sandinistas, that the American war against Nicaragua would continue with all the bloodshed and horror that implies. And that was also a major factor in the loss by the Sandinistas.
You're listening to KPFK 90.7 in Los Angeles, 98.7 in Santa Barbara. This is Manuel Criollo in the Voices from the Frontline segment. And on the phone we have William Bloom, who's talking to us about the role of the National Endowment for Democracy. And, you know, the reason why we have him on the phone in particular is, you know, what role is it going to play in this upcoming referendum vote on Sunday in Venezuela? Can we move to the subject of Venezuela, William? I know you've written a couple pieces about it. Can you particularly just to give people sort of a background, what was the role of the National Endowment for Democracy and funding of sort of opposition groups in Venezuela during the coup of 2002?
Going back, the NED has been very active in the past few years in opposing Chavez in Venezuela. In 2000, they gave, amongst other grants, they gave $50,000 to an organization called PRODEL, P-R-O-D-E-L, to, quote, to promote and defend decentralization in Venezuela. PRODEL will establish and train a network of national and state legislators and mayors to monitor government decentralization activities, advocate for the rights and responsibilities of state and local government in Venezuela, and analyze and debate pending legislation affecting local government, unquote. So here there you have it all laid out. They want to take away power from the federal government, they call it decentralization.
A tactic of this, you know, southern segregation is here inside the United States.
To give
people some.
And then that was in 2000. Then the next year, they announced they were expanding. NED announced it was expanding its program in Venezuela in response to, quote, a process of profound political change, unquote. Referring obviously to Chavez. And in that year, in the fiscal year ending in 2001, NED channeled more than $877,000 in grants to American and Venezuelan groups, none of whom supported Chavez, including over $300,000 to provide training in political party and coalition building, and $154,000 to the Confederation of Venezuelan Workers, the CTV, a union very much tied to the old guard in Venezuela, very conservative. So those are two examples in recent years. And the CTV, this union, Confederation, has been used like a similar organization was used in Chile to overthrow Salvador Allende. They would call strikes and other actions to establish a feeling of chaos in the country and to create a picture of Chavez as a dictator. And so these kind of activities provide a rationale and incitement for the military to then make a coup for the sake of the country, as they called it in 2002 when they undertook their coup. So there are many things in common with Chile in 1973, you have in Venezuela in the past few years. And then the grants to Venezuelan organizations continue to increase for the year ending September 30th, 2002, with over $1 million, including over $200,000 to the CTV. And that's on and on. It's a long, and this is all in black and white in the annual reports put out by NED.
Right, which is interesting because, you know, on one level, that's what the, you know, that's one direct way. But, you know, when I was in El Salvador for the elections in March of 2002, you also have sort of these drop-in, you know, kind of visits by Noriega or Otto Reichs and
right.
other folks from the Bush administration, basically telling people, hey, if you're going to vote for the left, you will, you know, there will be repercussions, and those repercussions
right.
could either mean...
In Salvador in 2002 and in... Nicaragua earlier
right, in 2001.
The one of the main pitches was to indicate that if the leftist candidate won, that the remittances from relatives in the U.S. back home would be stopped,
mm-hmm.
and that's a very scary prospect for people in this country. They depend to a large extent and the money sent to them by their family members who are living and working in the U.S. And there was a threat, a very clear threat, that this would be stopped if the wrong candidate won the election.
William, let me ask you this question. I mean, you know, like I opened up the show saying, you know, can we really describe elections anywhere in the world right now who are in direct either opposition, we can even say even competition against the United States, can they really be free, given the world system that we live in? And then lastly, you know, what do you see, if any, outside of the support of the National Endowment for Democracy, what other, I mean, could there be even a threat of, you know, any future actions against Venezuela, irregardless of the outcomes that are coming for this referendum?
Well, the threat is always a repeat of 2002, a military coup. Only a handful of the people involved in that operation have been incarcerated, I believe. And so there's plenty of of those guys walking around, and if Chavez wins the referendum, you can expect that these guys will be active. You know, just a few weeks ago, we had the statement by Carlos Andres Perez, a former president of Venezuela,
right,
and a leading member of the old guard. He said in an interview with a newspaper that, quote, he said that the referendum would fail and that violence was the only way for the opposition to get rid of Chavez, unquote. So, I mean, it's amazing. These guys are so confident that that no one is going to punish them for what they do and say, that they're very outspoken. The media in Venezuela says similar things all the time,
mm-hmm.
And they know that nothing's going to happen to them. And so they give away the game again and again, but that's part of their arrogance.
Well, arrogance that in many ways, I would say that, you know, in many ways, folks inside the United States are very complicit to. I mean, it's not
like... they know that Uncle Sam is on their side,
mm-hmm.
And that gives them a lot of courage to be this arrogant, of course.
Just to remind folks, we are speaking to William Bloom. This is Manuel Criollo with Voices from the Front Lines. You're listening to 90.7 KPFK in Los Angeles. William, I mean...
Excuse me, I should mention that the NAD gave a grant recently to an organization in Venezuela called Sumate.
Right.
And they appear to be running a referendum campaign. And you would think that the NAD would have enough sense of PR to not be associated openly with the referendum, but this money they gave, this grant they gave to Sumate is, quote, to develop a net of volunteers and apodistas. I don't know what the word means. You know the word apodistas?
Mm-mm.
Anyhow, trained to work in the elections and in a referendum and promote popular support for the referendum. Now, promote support for the referendum means to vote against
Chavez. To vote against Chavez, right.
That's the whole purpose of the referendum. You support that, you're supporting the ask of Chavez. And so they're openly saying that they're giving this money to Sumate to work for the overthrow of Chavez.
Well, William, I mean, this has really been a very good education for me and I think a lot of people in the public. So, I mean, with all that said, I mean, what do you think we can do here? I mean, what's the game plan here?
Well, if you mean about Venezuela...
No, well, Venezuela and the National Endowment for Democracy, I mean...
I'm not too good at finding solutions to stop the American empire. all I can do is try to educate the public and get... many more people enlisted for the cause, the anti-imperial cause. Hopefully there is a critical mass of people will eventually be created, and with enough people against government policies, there has to be some kind of change.
Well, and I think, you know, I think you hit it right on the button in the sense that folks in the left have to be anti-imperialist, have to look at the role of the United States and, you know, the general oppression that the third world is facing. And so thanks for being with us, William Bloom.
Can I mention my website, please?
Sure.
It's, if anyone wants to find out further about my books and read portions of them, they can go to www.killinghope.org.
And also, again, can you repeat that, William?
Yeah, www.killinghope.org.
And people, if also people want to check out the National Endowment for Democracy to see for yourself what they're up to.
Well, they can go to the NAD's own website.
Right.
Which is easy to find.
Which is NED.org, right?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, great. Well, thank you for being with us, William Bloom. We'll take a station break here, and we'll be back with Joel Tena with the Venezuelan Solidarity Group here in the United States.